Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson! Happy Monday to you out there. Happy Monday. I hope everybody had a good weekend because it is Monday. It's Monday. And this Monday is really a good Monday, y'all, because it's one day. We got one day left before the election. One day. Have you voted already? Have you taken advantage of that early voting out there? I hope you have. But if not, hey, you got tomorrow. That's right, you got tomorrow, so that's even better. You got tomorrow to get out there and get your vote in, you know, for those that haven't voted already. You know, it sounds like it's going to be a tight one, so every vote count. So whoever wants to vote, please get out there and make it happen. All right, make it happen, y'all, because we need them votes in there today. I don't care who you vote for, just vote. Just at least you can say you voted, right? I know, right? Hey, y'all, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and today is what we call Open Mic Monday, which means whatever you come up with is what we're going to talk about. All right? Hey, I'm telling you, hey, whatever is on your mind. Something happened to you this weekend you want to talk about? No problem. Do you think about something over the weekend you need to talk about? No problem. Today is the day where we can talk about any and everything. You know what I mean? So if you want to join in the conversation, that's no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in my chat room. Just sign into Facebook, MySpace, or whatever your local, whatever social media site you use. Hey, join me in the chat room. We can get a conversation going there, too. Sometimes that's where the best conversation be. Hey, that's what I'm saying. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, Driven for Life 62. And we spell four as F-O-R for those, you know, that they get do that little fancy texting that y'all do. Yeah. So, now, since we have all that out the way, hey, we ain't got no commercials today. Ain't that a wonderful thing, no commercials today? I don't know if that's so good or not, but we're going to have to work on that one. Now, like we always do, you know, it's Monday, though, so, you know, really, there's no real point besides we just start talking about something. You know, and if you want to chime in, hey, chime in. Hey, we got some things, you know. Hey, it's Monday. We got 2 hours. 2 hours to talk about whatever we want to talk about. Now, with that being said, here we go. You know, I'm start things off like I always do with some things that went on around the country. And in Pittsburgh, we're going to start off with Pittsburgh. All right. There was a mother. Okay, who decided to hold her 2-year-old child over the railing for a better view of some African wild dogs. Okay, well, what happened was the child actually fell in the exhibit. Now, it says the mother picked the child up and put him on top of a railing at the edge of a viewing deck at the Pittsburgh Zoo. Now, before we go any further, no, we're going to go ahead and tell you what happened. Then we're going to go on to the rest of it, you know. But, you know, the child lost his balance and fell down off the railing into the pit, you know, where he was immediately attacked by 11 dogs. 11 dogs, you know. Now, they really don't know whether the child died in the fall or after being attacked. But here's my thing. Does it really make a difference? Number one, why did she feel the need to put a 2-year-old on the railing? Hey, You won't even allow a 9-year-old on the railing. Let alone talking about a 2-year-old. Why would you do that? You know, a 2-year-old. Why would she do something like that, y'all? Please help me understand this, because you know I understand. But if you're gonna do it, you make sure you got a real good grip on that child. Number one, you shouldn't be doing it. But if you just have to, why? Why? You know, a 2-year-old. They don't stay still anyway. We all know this who have had children. And she should have known it because it was her child. But yet she's going to take and put that child on a railing. Wow. Senseless, y'all. That was a senseless death of another young child that didn't have to happen. Now, I know some of y'all say, well, you know, it was just his time. Yeah, okay. I give you that for a little bit. But really? Really? Two years old on a railing? No, I'm not buying that. Especially when you know there's some down there like dogs, wild dogs. No, I wouldn't even. No, you shouldn't even take that chance. You shouldn't even take that chance. I'm sorry. No, no, no. Hell, most I know the adults won't even sit on the railing. So what makes you think you're going to put a. Why you put a 2-year on there? On the rails. That's just a shame. Senseless. That's what I'm saying. It's senseless. It makes no sense whatsoever. And y'all can't make me believe that made sense, because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry, because that was just dumb. That was dumb. You know what? Kind of sort of that makes you lean to the belief that everybody not meant to have children. I'm just wow. You know, if y'all can see me now, I'm just here shaking my head because I couldn't believe it when I heard it. And now I read it again. I still can't believe somebody did something that dumb. You know, some of them just don't need children. I don't know what the hell she was thinking. And I don't care how she tried to justify it. It didn't make any sense. It really didn't. But that's just my opinion, like everything else on this show. You know, it's just my opinion. That's the way I feel about it. Okay, I guess I'm gonna beat that up now. I just got one thing to say. Her ass need to be tased. They should have tased her and threw her down there. God dang it. You know, that's just, oh my goodness. Anyway, parents, use common sense when you go to the zoo or anywhere dangerous like that, okay? Please, use common sense. It's not hard. You have a little bit, I'm sure, somewhere. You know, kind of try and use it. Okay, moving right along. Republicans in Hoover, Alabama. You know, Hoover, Alabama, that's right outside. That's not too far from places like Montgomery, Selma, if I'm not mistaken. It's not far, you know. But the Republicans are inviting supporters to join the party and fire a few rounds during the election. In other words, they have an election night party at a gun range. Now, only in Alabama would you have an election party at a gun range where participants will be able to shoot a few rounds as returns come in. Oh, Lord. Now, they're inviting their supporters to a 52,000-square-foot Hoover Tactical Firearms for a victory party Tuesday night. Wow. Ooh. Now the people that come, they can fire their own weapons. That's right, they can fire their own weapons, bring and shoot their own weapons, or they can rent some right there at the range. Isn't that crazy? Huh? Say the range will be available for 2 hours during the election event. And I'm telling you how great of a party this is going to be. They're going to have a band going to be there, y'all. I mean, a band. And then a special appearance by Miss Alabama herself. That's right. This is in Hoover, Alabama. Republicans throwing a party where you can go and fire your guns. There's going to be a band playing. Miss Alabama going to show up. Here's my question. So what happens if the results don't go as they plan, as they hope? then would this party turn into something tragic because you got all them guns? Now, they're saying there will be no drinking allowed while people are shooting. That's what they said. I mean, that's what they're saying. But we all know there's going to be one or two that are going to slip something through, which is recipe for disaster, you ask me. I mean, come on. Think about this. A whole bunch of folk out there shooting guns, right? That don't sound right. That's disaster waiting to happen. And, of course, the GOP, you know, they're expecting Mitt Romney to easily carry Alabama. So, you know, they're expecting him to win Alabama with no problem. So that's why they're planning this big party, this gun party, you know, with Miss Alabama in a band. Well, I tell you, this country where I was born, I tell you, we do some things, don't we? I guess there's nothing wrong with it. Hey, man, as long as it goes all right, there won't be no big to-do about it, correct? I guess. Now, whether that, you know, we're saying it, I mean, whether it will or not, it remains to be seen. But I just wanted y'all to know that's going on in Hoover, Alabama, just in case you want to stop by, you know, and join the party. Why not? You got 2 hours to fire a gun, so hey, if you need to, you know, catch up on your firing, just go on and stop by the range. You know, get your little shot in, you know, and qualify for your you know, go on and qualify for your concealed handgun license. Hey, knock out and party at the same time, right? Knock out two birds with one stone. I'm just saying, y'all. Now, check this out. You know, like I mentioned before, tomorrow is the big election. And, you know, the candidates are out there doing their thing the last wee hours, trying to, you know, convince voters who haven't made up their mind yet, which is a great thing. You know, that's good. But, you know, I was going through looking at some things, and I found an article that really got my attention. You know, and like I say, you know, I try and be fair about certain things. And, you know, when I saw this article, I just couldn't pass it up. We had to talk about it. And I'm sure I want some of y'all to talk about it with me because it kind of made a little bit of sense. You know, and don't be getting upset, all right? Because this is what we're going to talk about. Why are blacks silent on Obama failures? Now, this is an article I found, okay? And that was the question. Why are blacks silent on Obama failures? That's right. Now, I know some of y'all are like, what failures? Now, let's be realistic, y'all. You know, everything hasn't been gravy. We know this, right? We know this. And, you know, normally we come up with our great, you know, excuses why, you know, this hasn't happened, why that hasn't happened. But, hey, for all of his victories, you know, there have been some failures. Let's think about that. High poverty rate, the prison population among African Americans, you know. And let's see, Frederick C. Harris, a New York Times contributor, you know, he's just wondering why more black intellectuals who no doubt recognize these trends aren't more critical of the president. You know, like Cornel West is. And you know what? I really like Mr. Cornel West because he holds no punches. And that's why I love that man, because that man, he tells it like it is. You know, he holds no punches. He need to do something with his hair and his beard, but hey, most brilliant people look like that, I guess. But yeah, he tells it like it is. You know, so I don't know. But, you know, that is the question. You know, why more black intellectuals, you know, fail to recognize the trends? That trend of high poverty rate in, you know, the prison population. Or maybe they do, they just fail to, you know, say anything about it, which basically is the same thing, right? Well, the article goes on to say, the Obama presidency has already marked the decline rather than the pinnacle of a political vision centered on challenging racial inequality. The tragedy is that black elites, okay, there go that word again, them two words, the black elites, from intellectuals and civil rights leaders to politicians and clergy members, have acquiesced to this decline, seeing it as the necessary price for the pride and satisfaction of having a black family in the White House. So basically what they're saying, we done settled for whatever. We done settled. You know, okay, we got a black family in White House, that's fine. So let's overlook some of the things that's happening. You know, as far as, you know, the poverty rate, unemployment rate among African Americans. You know, that's, we can overlook that for right now. Well, what do y'all think about that? I'm sure somebody out there has a great opinion. You know, I know a lot of y'all are going to say, well, the health insurance coverage, you know, is a good thing. It's most social, you know, since the great, you know, great society and the stimulus package, you know, did this great thing to stop the Great Recession. But who did that really help? Let's be honest, huh? Who did that really help? It helped everyone, right? It helped everyone. The minority group. It didn't say, I mean, blacks fell within that, like we always fall into everything else, but I'm just saying. And that's what this article is all about. And I, you know, I, like I said, I really found it was fascinating. I really did. You know, and it goes on to say that the president's politics seem to vindicate the position of civil rights era leaders like Bayard Rustin, who argued that blacks should form coalitions with other Democratic other groups in support of universal race neutral policies, okay, in opposition to activists like Malcolm X, who distrusted party politics and believed that blacks would be better positioned to advance their interests as an independent voting bloc, beholden to neither party. And, I mean, that's what this article said. So, my question is, what do y'all think about that? What do you think about that? Should we become an independent voting bloc? And, you know, just don't worry about... Hell, don't worry about whether you're Republican or Democrat. Just vote all together as a black nation. Then wouldn't that be cool if we could do that, though? Can you imagine the juice, as they would say, we would have if we actually did that for real? Just kick both parties to the curb and form our own. I know some of y'all say, that's been tried already. No, it ain't been, yeah, it's been tried. But I'm sure we can get it. If we really push hard enough, we probably could get it going. We probably could. Cindy 7, I see you in there. How you doing? Thank you for joining me today. I'm just saying, we're just talking. It's open mic Monday. So if you got something you want to talk about, hey, just get on in here with me. Yeah, I'm just talking about an article I read about, you know, the president's failures since he's been in office. We already know about some of the great things he's done, but it seems like, you know, there's a lot of people ignoring the bad things, which is normal. It's human, right? When you fuss somebody, you fail to you know, notice all the bad things, and you want to emphasize the good things. That's just in everything you do. You know, that's everything you do. Like my old raggedy Jaguars. You know, they won in 7. They won in 7, you know. Hey, but at least they scoring points. That's all I can say. See what I'm saying? Hey, I'm just using it as an example. You know? Because many felt like when he became president, you know, the racial divide would just go away. But here's my thing. That would never happen, and this is the reason why that would never happen, because I think I did a show on this a little while ago. Hey, Supreme, I see you in there. And this is why I'm saying. The country was built on racial division, you know. So as far as that going away, I don't think that's going to happen, never, ever. I don't care what they say. You know, and if we looking for that, we in trouble. We in trouble. Now, the article goes ahead to say Democratic policies have not been a triumph for African Americans in the aggregate. It has failed to arrest the growing chasm of income and wealth inequality. Now, see? You know what I'm saying? To improve prospects for social and economic mobility, to halt the resegregation of public schools and narrow the black-white achievement gap, and to prevent the social prevent the Supreme Court from eroding the last vestiges of affirmative action. Now, that's, you know, some of what this article was talking about. You know, as far as the president's now, here's my question. What do y'all think about that? Is, you know, has President Obama becoming president done more harm than good for the black community? The question is out there. Now, that's the question for today. See, that's the question for today. See, I know I'll come up with something. The question for today, has President Obama's presidency been a good thing for the black community or a bad thing? Or are we still stuck in neutral like we were before? Yeah. Come on, y'all, talk to me. It's Monday. We got some things. I know some things on your mind, and I'm just putting some more out there. And this was an article now in the New York Times. New York Times contributor Frederick C. Harris, who was the author of this article. It said how hate crimes view the 2012 election. You know, so what do you think out there about that question? That is the question of the day. Was it a good thing? And will it be, if he is reelected, will it be better now? Will things get better his last 4 years if he's elected? Yeah. Just some fun things to think about early today, huh? All right, let me see. I think I know who this is. Good afternoon, y'all. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you today?
Pretty well. Thank you for asking.
That's great. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, I had an absolutely wonderful weekend. I think I'm going to extend it.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I heard you just a moment ago. You said that what was the last comment you uttered?
If President Obama would get reelected, would that mean things really would change, or would it be a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you know, a president who gets elected to a second term is a lame duck president.
Correct.
And you know, there. I think just given human nature and competition, you do more when you are required to do more. So a lame duck president, you know, what can you do to him? So I think, you know, what is I understand black employment is over 25%.
Mm-hmm.
That approaches what unemployment was for whites during the Great Depression. And I understand black youth unemployment is around 50%. And, of course, there are virtually no businesses. Now, if I were in the area, I eat barbecue on occasion, I would certainly visit the in fact, if I'm ever in that area, I will visit, you know, your sponsor. So, but if you look at the paucity of businesses, particularly black businesses, it's absolutely, unconscionable because if you look at the amount of money, I think I share with you about Target Market News and how they say the black GNP, gross national product for blacks, is roughly $750 billion. That's over $750 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would equal about the GNP of the ninth largest country in the world. So that's a huge amount of money. But because of, defective attitudes, immaturity, sophomoric, and inappropriate behavior, blacks don't communicate to the extent. Now, this is American blacks, not blacks from other countries, because they operate differently. But they don't communicate well enough. The man and woman, men and men, women and women, they don't communicate well enough to create businesses. And remember, politicians can't do anything for you if you don't have businesses. You see, you have to have businesses. Businesses are the, how should I say, businesses are the repository for political largesse political outlays.
Mm-hmm.
The reason corporations do so well is because it's okay to support them. Corporations get more welfare than anybody. And welfare is okay, it's just how one gets it. I think there was an article, I think it was Time, but it may have been another magazine, but they had this well-dressed white man with his hand out, palm up, and it talked about corporate welfare. And corporations get the most welfare of anyone. And nobody really complains about that because they don't understand it. But getting back to the central point, politics and blacks, even though black Americans tend to be the most active politically, that's in the paper. There's a survey done every year and maybe more often. It's called the State of Black America. And I think mm-hmm. it's the Urban League and United Way. And there are a lot of scholars who participate in that. And they use certain indices to comment on the state. And they comment on the state of other people, too, Asians, whites, Hispanics. And except for voting or political participation, blacks come in dead last as far as business creation, high school dropout. In other words, they come in, last, and sometimes it's first, but they come in worse.
Right.
High school dropout. Now, some blacks will disagree with this. Incarceration, early death,
mm-hmm.
Health, all groups virtually outlive, black Americans. And so the thing is that those reports are put out, but very few people read them. They deny it. A lot of times blacks say, well, I don't believe those statistics. You say, okay, where the hell are yours? Where are yours? What do you really know? Well, the answer usually is nothing. They don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that, except for the black elite, you've done a show on that. Hopefully you'll do
three
shows on that. But and have some of them to call in. I'm sure they the stresses of the economy impact them too. But how do they respond to it? And these are particularly graduates of, your historically black colleges and universities. I named some to you, Morehouse and its companion colleges.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Howard one?
Right.
A number of them. I mean, anyone can look them up. And have some of these people call in because the conversation needs to be expanded. And you find that blacks are afraid of conversation. Usually, unless they're talking about racial issues, they don't even include, a black commentator. They're not included on economic issues. I don't think there's one black hedge fund trader. And if you know of one, please say so. But the thing is that this money that blacks have, none of it goes to refurbish their communities. It bounces maybe one time. You've heard of recycling your dollars. Every group does that. In fact,
right.
You do an economic analysis, the dollar turns over multiple times, 10, 15 times in virtually all the different communities. And each time that dollar turns over, you understand what I mean, right? Each time
right.
that the dollar changes hands,
mm-hmm.
based on the business model, it enriches the person with whom it exchanges hands. And so, you know, you're doing a great job. And sometimes I disagree with some of your points, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's that. I would say about 98-99% of what you do, I definitely support it. And Joe made a point. He and I were on a racist show, which I enjoyed a bit, by the way.
Right.
Enjoyed chopping it up with racists, because you find that many racists are very ignorant. All are not ignorant, but some are. But Joe made an observation. He said about 90% of the shows on BTR are black shows. And Joe is usually spot on. So, and just doing a cursory analysis of it, I know it's very high. I said it's in the 70 to 80 percentile just looking at the different shows.
Correct.
And there's a lot of talk by blacks, but it's just meaningless. There's no real... In other words, after you finish the talk, no one goes out and does anything to change anything. All the talk is just pure entertainment. There's no real education that brings about a change. Does that make sense? Do you follow
yes,
me on that?
That makes a whole lot of sense. Whole lot of sense. Yeah. I think Supreme want to get in on the conversation as well.
Hey, yeah. I'm sorry. Say again.
I think Supreme wants to get in on the conversation as well.
Right, and I have a comment off of NPR by D.L. Hughley, the comedian. It's called On Politics and Women. So go ahead, and then at a certain point, you know, key me back in. Or I don't think you shut people off the mic anyway.
No.
But go ahead, and I'll just stand by.
Okay. Hey, Supreme, you there?
Highly blessed, my brother.
All right, hi. Good afternoon. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, man, I'm highly blessed to Mr. Solutions, you know. I liked hearing what he was saying, you know. Very intelligent person, I would say, you know. And, you know, when you was talking about Obama, I'm going to take it a bit further back. When you say, what do you think is going to be some sort of a change with him in the White House? And, you know, like, I feel since he's been in power, I mean, I can see the positive, which is, you know, it kind of, if you're a white person and you buy into society, that, and, you know, if you buy into society full stop, you see it as a change, you know, that black people are coming up on that level. But, I feel like he just made a fool out of us, though. You know? You see what I'm trying to say, my brother? Because a lot of people, even in England, were feeling the change. But well, things have just got worse, though, you know? And he said he's going to come out, stop the war in Iraq when he got in power, but no, he never stopped it. You know? He kept on saying, one time he said 6 weeks. Then he said 3 months. Then he said 6 months. Then he said a year. You know? So, you know, then he said 8 months. You know what I'm saying, brother? So, you know, I just feel like... And then he destroyed the most technological nation, the most developed nation in Africa. He destroyed that. Gaddafi. Not saying Gaddafi's a good man or nothing. But, you know. You know, so for me, this guy's made a fool out of us worldwide. You know, I see him giving niggas phones in certain... do you know the state I'm talking about, my brother? Because I don't know the state.
Well, you give him phones?
Yeah, he gave a state. I saw in America, he gave you guys phones. And there was a state where he was giving people, handing out the Obama phone.
No, I wasn't aware of that one. Mr. Solution, know anything about that one?
I'm sorry, recite it again.
There was a state where Obama was giving niggas phones.
He was getting a what?
He was giving people phones. He was giving everyone in the air, in the state area phones. It's on YouTube. Maybe
yeah. They talked about that. That program was started under a previous president. It went through several presidents. I think it may have started with Clinton, and I know Bush promoted it, but that was misconstrued. That was presented the wrong way. Like they say, that particular program was in place, you know, long before Barack Obama. Now, he may have continued it or something along that line, but, you know.
It's on YouTube, my brother, so it's there. And I saw, and, you know, I just feel, when I saw you seeing these black people, the woman looked like she was on crack or something. She was on some sort of drugs, you know.
Well,
and
yeah, you know, they attempted to sensationalize it. I mean, there are other legitimate issues, but I think that one was explained that, like I say, previous administrations had approved that. And I don't know if it didn't go as far back as to Reagan, but it was something to do with underprivileged people having access to a phone. And since, you know, a phone is considered a necessity in emergency situations, it may have had something to do with that. One could easily look it up. It's not.
Yeah. I know, my brother. I'm just trying to say, I feel since Obama's been in power, black people have now made even more fools of themselves, especially America, even more fools of themselves on a worldwide scale, making us all look stupid. You got to understand here, when white people are looking at us, they look at me and they think of America. They think of the American people because I look like, you know, these people. I look like American black people. You know what I mean? We look alike. So they associate me with that person. Do you understand? Like, you got all these stupid programs in America, like Real Housewives from Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop. Since Obama's gone in power, we can't say that it ain't got nothing to do with him. I'm not saying he's directly in there, but he should have got that knocked down. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because at the end of the day, these programs are degenerating us, showing us the degeneration of our people. These people ain't got nothing to worry about. And they're sitting there fighting with other women. And they're very privileged when you consider, if you show the stats on black people worldwide, they're at the higher end. And they're acting like idiots. You know, Jerry Springer started off that, making our black people look like fools and imbeciles, and Maureen and programs there, but these programs here are doing more damage in the psychology of other people, which causes racism. That's why white people can't respect us, you know? That's why white people don't respect black people, because they see all the programs we pump out. We want to stand up and we want to get upset. He's a black man who's in power, right? But he wants to say something. We want to say something as well, you know? I had a friend who was going to a protest where there were, because, you know, black people, a lot of black people in England are dying in police custody, just like America, right? And they were protesting in England. And he told me he's going up West End to go and see. I said, look, man, black people ain't consistent. Why the fuck am I going to go? Why are we always getting angry, right, when they kill when the white man kills us? But when we kill ourselves, which is a higher epidemic than the white man killing us, right? Why don't we march when it's that? Why don't we try and knock that out of the community? Hold up some of these youths and give them a beating. You know what I mean? Hold up some of these youths and make them learn some manners. Because I feel like some of our black people, we're just going to have to let the devil take them. Because some people can't be reformed out here. You know, they don't want to listen and steer clear of warnings. You know? But I'm just trying to say, all these negativity that's getting pumped out, he should put a stop to this crap, you know? And, you know, like I said, I just think the man's made a mockery of us. And, like I said, no one's going to see the other side of the negativity that's coming out since he's been in charge of black people. It's got ridiculous now, you know? What do you brothers think about that?
Well, okay, you say he's made it. My question is, did he make a mockery of us? Did we make a mockery of ourselves, believing
that wasn't going to happen? No, listen. If you're running a country, right,
uh-huh,
and you want your dirty laundry out there, right? You don't want to pull it out of them, right? These shows should get knocked off the telly. And if I was in power, these programs couldn't exist. This sort of program, I understand there's negativity in our community, right? But these sort of programs couldn't exist. There's so much positive stuff going out there on white people, but there ain't nothing positive about us. You don't really, you know what I mean? You see what I'm trying to say, my brother? There's nothing. So that needs to get knocked down, because everything that in the community that's, you know, that's on the TV, the programming, right, is all negative with black people. The only positive is that we can bring forth something on the intellectual stuff that you can really look to black people for. Yeah, for sports, you know, and now this negativity, which really white people don't really, and other races don't really respect us, because all they think we're good at athletic things, physical activities. You know, they don't really, they're not respecting that. They don't respect our minds. That's why it's hard for us. That's why we get racism in jobs. That's why we get overlooked for promotions, because of these programming that is going in to the Caucasian or whoever, or Asian, whoever's running your business that you're under. You know, that's the first thing. Unless you get to know him, unless you get to be friends with him, and then you can make him know your mind. You know, but you have to suck up. And even then, that ain't really a good thing to do in business. You know, because in corporate, because, you know, people can see the suck up. You know what I mean? People don't like suck ups.
Okay. Well, hold on, Supreme. I think I got somebody else who wants to get in on this conversation as well. All right, so hold on. Hey, good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Oh, peace. What's up, E? It's 269. I'm at 2 calling in.
All right.
What's going on, man? What y'all talking about today?
Oh, we just talking, man. What you got on your mind?
Y'all just talking. I just listened to the brother. you know, I think, I don't know where we get this historical misunderstanding of who and what a American president is. And with this Barack Obama thing, I don't know if the brother, and it felt like he said he made a mockery of black folk. Obama did.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like it's a mockery, because when black people, and I know, I don't care what any black person said, anyone who voted for black, for Obama, right, anyone black, right, they were expecting something, but they got shit. That's the problem.
Well, the thing about it, man, if we are ignorant about European politics, and that Obama was never given any type of black agenda, so to say, hey, we want you to stick to this, or to see if you can work this, or can you do this, or can you do that. So I don't think we can put that on Obama. There was no unified black agenda. From that perspective, you don't put that on Obama. I don't ever remember Barack Obama saying that he was going to get in there and to the black side of it. He never showed that. So he told us he wasn't for reparations. He didn't go to no black functions. He don't have no. He has the same policies on Africa. So now, I don't know who told us that he was finna get in there and do something pro black or for black. Right. Where do we get that from?
All right, my brother. Like, listen. Everything that's going on with black people worldwide, and Obama knows this. He knows what's going on in the street.
Okay, he may know. Okay,
he knows the statistics. Yeah, I shouldn't have to. The people, them. I don't know. It's a psychological thing. We just expected that. You understand? Because if we went up there saying, it's like what Farrakhan tried to do. You know, like it's like this. I'm about black power, right, and you want to go and open up a business and that, right, you're voting for me. You don't have to tell me what you need to. It's like a mental basis. It's a mental thing. You understand? Our black people, we thought he knew. He knows. You don't have to tell him nothing. It's a psychological thing. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brother? We don't need to. If we go and tell the white man what on what, then you won't get in power. It's a psychological thing.
No.
That's what it is.
Let's go this way, bro.
Obviously, I know better because I don't vote.
Right.
Yeah? So I already knew. I was telling people out, hey, that don't mean shit.
Right.
It's just that this devil can't find no one white for the people them to trust. They get power when we vote. Because if I vote, even if I didn't want to vote, but the fact that I voted for that party, now I've got to live under that. You can't lead 10 people if only 5 of them respect the voting system and only 3 of them voted for you, which made you run this particular... Say, you, for example, you were going in a voting. We're going to lead a group of 10. Me and you are the presidents, and we're saying who wants to be the leader. You get 3 votes and I get 2 votes. That means the other 5 never voted. Aren't you going to feel funny when you're dying on the battlefield or you're trying to command these other people to do things for you and you know they don't even respect the voting process? You understand? They don't even respect the whole thing, let alone trying to lead my men who voted for me instead of you. Do you understand? So that's why I'm saying that we give them power when we vote, because they can't run this system. If I reckon if 30% of the people voted and the rest never, they would have to come with a better trickery. The devil would just probably give us a bit more leniency. They might ease up a little bit because they need people to vote. So if they're seeing that they really change, if they can change something, they don't need to change nothing because people are still falling for the trick, land and sinker. So they don't need to. They can just bring it down worse and worse and worse and change the rhetoric, because that's what's working so far. Rhetoric and false promises, that's what's working in the people right now.
Can I jump in there, bro? I hear what you're saying. One of the things we have to realize as African people engaging in European politics is this: they don't need us to vote. If we do or don't vote, does not stop the American system from doing what it's doing, expanding and things of that nature. So they never told you we need you to vote. That don't change the American system. So
no, you're saying
what we basically talking about, we're on the same page as far as this, from what I can hear you saying.
Of course.
If you're going to, when you're engaging in somebody else's political system, and it is not ours. Now, anybody who believe that, they're a fool. Okay.
Tell it, brother.
All right. You know, it makes sense if you would try to be as sophisticated as possible before you go into it. Now, I think we would agree with that as well.
Okay.
Now, as black folk, it's clear we are very juvenile as it relates to understanding European politics and then how to maneuver in it a little bit to get something here and there. It's clear. That's a historical fact that we like children when it comes to our political thinking. So I actually think we're saying the same thing there, but what we're talking about in a nutshell is this: black folk are like kindergartners when it comes to playing politics in European politics. That's kind of it in a nutshell.
All right. Well, before we get, Mr. Solution, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let me get your take on some of this. I know you're sitting there waiting.
Go, my brother.
Rip roaring to go.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know Mr. Solution was on.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had a question, Eric.
No. I'm waiting for you to go on because you said you had some from NPR, and I wanted to get your input on the conversation that's going on. My bad.
Oh, indeed. The NPR, I noticed you have this is open mic.
Right.
Yeah, we can dart in and out on these particular issues. But, yeah, I was, first of all, politics is made more complicated than it should be, and a lot of people just think that a whole lot of talking is what politics are about. I used to get very bored because I'm like, you know, when are the goodies going to be rolled out? Well, some people just like, you know, the notion of politics, but politics is really about getting paid.
Right.
I think I shared with you the article about how Congress's net worth had increased 5% during the recession. So they are much about getting paid. Now, some people with politics, you just have to figure out how to get what you want. You put the politician in office who's going to bring money to your community.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But politics is most effective on the local level, not on the national level. And people who think that, it's about the show, the symbolism for most people, getting out, voting, and I think that's fine to be engaged in the political process from that standpoint. But voting is not just about casting a ballot. Voting is about casting a ballot where you get stuff, and that's where some people break down. They don't understand politics, and maybe it's made purposely confusing, and maybe the people who are confused just want to be confused. But I look at politics just for what it is. You get in, you get yours, you support the candidate that's giving you what you need, and that's the way it works. It's quid pro quo. It's one hand washes the other. And I think somebody said it earlier, American blacks play politics horribly. In fact, they play the game of life horribly. That is, other than the talented 10%, roughly 10%. So, you know, politics to them is just about putting their person in office, and once their person gets in office, interestingly enough, that person doesn't do a damn thing for them. Why? Because they don't ask for it.
They don't have to, right?
Yeah, they don't. It's like, thank you very much.
Right.
They go about doing business with people who make demands upon them.
Right.
Go ahead, what?
Now that's a true statement. That's very true.
Yeah, but that's stupid. It seems stupid. Look, D.L. Hughley, I guess you guys may know him. Now, I like comedians because comedians are very smart. Comedians are smarter than the average person. In fact, sometimes they're brilliant, because they're able to take real-life situations, true-life situations, and make it comical, make it funny. And that takes a lot of understanding, a lot of study, a lot of research, a lot of observation, and to be able to deliver it, you know, in a way that comes off as comical. But anyway, he makes some interesting points about women. Now, this is, first of all, and I like, he starts with himself. He says, being a dad, daughters, and this is on NPR, the article, they have both the transcript and the actual interview, and this chick, Michelle Martin, and this was done October 25th, so it's pretty recent, and it's called D.L. Hughley, Tough Words on Politics and Women. And we like women. We love women. But in loving women, we have to call women on their crap. Now, I called a gentleman on his crap the other day because, you know, he was talking about, well, D.L. Hughley shouldn't have come on the air and aired dirty laundry. And I said, garbage. He needs to tell the truth because women will get on the air and... all women, but particularly black American women, get on the air and lie like a rug about men. They'll say there aren't any men, and they're just telling a flat-faced lie. And what has to happen is the men have to speak up so that the other side can be presented. But it says being a dad.
About women, brother.
Excuse me.
I said you like to talk about women. You know, I agree with most things that you say about
women. Look. Women are half of the species, and most of our essence deals with women.
No.
And anybody who says that's not true is just not being...
no, my brother, I agree with most things that
wait,
you
wait,
said.
Let me
and make, I wish you know
let,
how
let, let me I just want to quote from what Mr. Hughley said. He says being a dad to daughters is very different from being a dad to sons. The dangers are different, and the way they listen to you is different, that is, the daughters. He says, I'm sure every father feels the same way that I do about his daughters. I love them, but I don't like them. Who likes women? Now, this is. I think that's the way you pronounce his name, Hughley, right? Have you seen
right.
him, Eric?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yep.
Do you like his, comedy?
Yes, I love his comedy.
Yeah, he's pretty sharp. And okay, Hughley, he says, I don't like the way, and of course Martin asked him a series of really, 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 and he says, really? And he says, I don't like the way they process. No, I don't. I enjoy their company. I don't like the way they reason. You can't understand them. Now, I disagree with him here. This is why we need to talk about this. Most women reason from a narcissistic point of view. It's all about them. Now, Chris Rock chimed in on that and said, what do women want? Everything, everything, everything. But the reason they want everything is because most men have become pussies. Even the good men are just weak. And they allow women to act as if they're unreasonable. Women are as smart as men. I watch women all the time, not only to see tits and ass, but I also watch them to see how they behave in different circumstances. And women are not stupid by any stretch of the imagination. They do what they feel they can get away with. They're people too. So anyway, Mr. Hughley has been married for 26 years. And he talks about his wife's, putting up with him, and I'm sure he puts up with her. So they've made it work, and that's good. But he said, do you think any man has figured it out? Anyone. Name me a man who says, I've figured women out. I got it. Well, again, and he's just maybe being comical there, but we understand women. I mean, come on. Don't you understand women are Eric?
Honestly, hell no. Well, I do something. No, I don't understand them. I ain't gonna lie.
Let me ask you, what is it that women do that you don't understand?
I ain't gonna lie. It's their train of thought sometimes. I be lost on what they be thinking about. It's just the way they come at, I guess it's the way they communicate. That's what I'm looking for.
How do they communicate?
They all over the place. They say things, but they don't tell you exactly what they want you to know. They kind of beat around the bush, and that drives me crazy.
Mr. Solutions.
Go ahead, sir. I wanted to respond to that, Go ahead, please.
Yeah. And this is the straight bottom line. Most men do not listen to a woman. Most men don't listen. So we don't even know where it is that we really want, we don't really study women. See, like how you try to sit down and study their minds? Most men don't, because they're thinking from the lower nature.
Vibration. Wait a minute. You're speaking at a distance, so it's hard to hear you sometimes.
I'm saying to you, my brother.
Yeah, what about the lower nature?
I'm saying that most men, they don't listen to women. Yeah, we don't really take much note of what they're saying because we're usually thinking in the lower nature. Now, once we're in a relationship with a woman, it's very rare. We might.
Wait a minute. Before you go on, sir, explain what you mean by lower nature. What do you mean by that? Women think in their lower nature, so men don't pay attention
lower
to
nature.
Them.
All right. Most people in this world, male and female, think with their private organs. Other than me swearing on here, most people think.
Are
like
you
that.
Saying women are hysterical?
Most women only think with that as well, but when they have a they, but they're more they can more men more think with that more than women. I would say, because like I said, women are very narcissistic in when they speaking, or when they ask, they might talk about their problems, but they're not really asking you for a solution.
They Let me challenge you on that. And see, Eric, this is where men fall short. They don't really, you know, the old bromide is iron sharpens iron.
Come on,
so
brother.
So does one man another, right?
I'm saying that most men don't listen.
Women, let me ask you a question. You just made an assertion. I want to ask you a question. How could women be CEOs of major corporations? How could women be mayors, run cities, and also be governors if women are in any way less than men intellectually and endowed with human capabilities? How can women do these things? How can women be pilots and legislators
Hang on, my brother. I never said that women...
I don't want you to tiptoe and dance around it. I want you to answer it.
But I'm not trying to make that assumption. I don't think that women are probably a bit higher, especially in the black community. I know for certain that when more black women graduate and stuff like that, they do better in school. Women mature sooner than men, you know.
Well, that's not true. First of all, how do you mean? Well, wait a minute. You mean physiologically?
Mentally.
How so? How do women mature faster than men mentally? Also tell me if women matured faster than you.
All right. Basically, right? For example, when we're younger, a woman would maybe, I remember when I was younger and I would be looking for a woman, I didn't really care if she was driving or she had a job or anything like that. I remember girls my age when I was 16 who wanted guys who were driving or at least had a job where they could buy them something. Now, because we were both thinking on low levels, I would say they're smarter. That was a smarter move.
Yeah, but that's not smart. You just said that women think with their lower natures. You're contradicting yourself if you stand back and look at what you're saying. First of all, that's narcissism.
You want me to answer a question that that's not a thing that I would even think, that women, men are more intelligent or more superior than women. I don't take that on a mental level. I don't even, you know, I don't really accept that. So when you were asking me that question, it's not a question that I really even know where you're coming with that. You know what I mean?
Directly. Look, and you just said women mature faster than men. Yeah. First of all, and I ask you to clarify. First of all, women, if you're talking about physiologically, okay, that's a nature thing, and when that occurs and. And that changes, too, based on the hormones of the food and this sort of thing. But let's just get down to the brass tacks of this. Women are not more mature than men. What women often do is they focus on themselves, and women tend to be more manipulative than men. That does not make them more mature. In fact, it may make them worse because women – see, generally a man chooses a woman for who she is, whereas a woman chooses a man for what she can get. So she is less spiritual than the man. She's looking for stuff.
Either material assets.
That's the reason a young girl, take for example, a young woman, before she ascertain her secondary sex characteristics, she's dating and hanging out with a little guy, just like she is. And, of course, when she gets her ass, tits, and her curves, she now upgrades and she dates a guy 4 or 5 years older than her because maybe he has more money to spend on her and he has wheels. But that doesn't mean she's more mature.
That's better common sense.
Because wait a minute. That just means she.
When I was at that age, I was just
that means
who looks
she
good.
Is more manipulative, and that she's more narcissistic. See, the reason women kick men's asses is because men remain stupid of how women operate. It's not that women can't be understood. Women can be understood extremely well, but men tend to have all of these old wives' tale about
I
women.
Agree. I agree with that, what you're saying, my brother.
You have a lot of perceptions about women, talking about they think with their lower nature.
And they do think with their lower nature.
They think reptilian, which is only, you know, the basics. On Maslow's...
Can I jump in here?
I said most people think with their lower selves.
Can I jump
most
in here?
People. Especially when it comes down to meeting.
Yeah, as soon as Supreme gets finished.
Okay.
Sorry, my brother.
Yeah, if you listen at, I know this is an open mic, but if you listen at both point of views, this is what you have. You have two brothers discussing the characters and personalities of both men and women who have been born into a European culture, and neither one of them are themselves. Now, how are you going to get any type of, how are you going to reconcile that?
Exactly.
Black women are out of their mind, and black men are out of their mind. Now, how are you going to reconcile that?
Well, you talk through it. You converse the confusion. That's how you get out of the malaise.
I agree with Mr. Solutions.
You talk about it. Just like this gentleman, I see holes in his arguments and presentation as large as those in Swiss cheese. Only because he hasn't thought it through.
I'm just freestyling. I'm just coming with the first thing that, not the first thing, but the first sensible thing that comes to my mind, right? When you asked me that question earlier, I agree with what you're saying, you know, and that's why I said to you, most men don't really listen to what a woman's needs. It goes in one ear and it comes out the other. As much as we want women, we don't try and focus on how to get more women with how we speak. Most men, they get women based on how they look because they haven't even tried to start. It's not a fact that most men, they go act like, yeah, well, they get lots of girls and stuff like that. But only because the woman likes their physical look.
Let me sum it up this way. Most men and women act superficially. I agree with that. And the reason they act superficially, and this is even the better men and women, because they're never challenged to behave better. That's what causes people to act better is competition and challenging what they have to say. If they have the ability, if they want to improve, let's just put it like that. Most of us can improve if we want to. When men say they don't understand women, it's because they don't listen to women, and often they're matched up with a woman that's incompatible. And the gentleman asked an excellent question just now, but he didn't give the answer to it. He asked the question as though it's an unsolvable. It's not an unsolvable, because apparently he believes he solved it. One of the points that I take is if one man can do something, another man can. Same with a woman. And I don't take this elitist, attitude that, you know, only I can do something and no one can follow. That's immature.
You say a lot, I hear you a lot. You say that women should approach men. But let me tell you something. Even if that happened, more women approach men, and that happens anyway. When a woman wants a man, she lets you know that she likes you. Maybe she might not come and actually talk to you. She might tell a friend. She might keep on talking to you every day, you know, trying to make you notice her, you know. But she
what
does
if
her,
you did
little,
that with an employer? Yeah,
but
there will
always be men left out. I'm just trying to say. There was
wait a minute. What if you did that with an employer?
I'm just going to finish this off. There's always going to be a number of men who will always have to go out there and talk to women, especially in this society. There's always going to be some men left short where women just don't want to talk to them. They're going to have to go out there and try and get women anyway. So there's always going to be that number of men left out.
Well, yeah, but look, if people see, this is the thing. A lot of men aren't solution oriented either. When I talk, like Harvey came out with this book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and I heard a guy, you know, guys will say, well, a woman shouldn't think like a man, and I asked them, well, wait a minute, There's no gender attached to thoughts. What are you really talking about? What about thinking properly? What about thinking according to accuracy and truth? That is not off limits to either male or female. So see, what happened is people get caught up in these catchphrases and they don't even understand what's being said. There's no such thing as think like a man. What is that? What does it mean to think like a man?
That's marketing, and that's enterprise and marketing.
I know, that's what
money.
I'm saying, and that's the reason you challenge people on that, and then they can't answer. If we talk about levels of understanding, and I ask you to go one level on a statement that you made, and you can't, that shows me that you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, the thing, I just comment on something that Mr. Solution said about the point that I was making about analyzing the thinking process and the character and personality of black men and women, considering that you understand that culture is what shapes personality and character, not individuals, not one book, not one seminar. It's an entire culture. The interlocking of institutions who are looking out to spit out a personality. Now, knowing that, this is a fact, cultures determine personalities and characters, not talk shows. All right. Now, having said that.
But that's part of the culture, by the way.
Yeah, but you have a culture, it's a functionality. In other words, just because you have a talk show don't mean you have a culture.
No,
or it's just because you have a school and not a talk show don't mean you have a culture. You see?
Right, but the talk show is part of our culture. That's part of our culture.
Well, now, it's part of whose culture?
It's part of the American culture.
Oh, the American culture. Now, that's two different things. Yeah. See, well, you know, we've had this conversation before. It's just a fundamental disagreement.
But let me say this. No. I don't think it, well, it may be. But, see, the point is, I think you have to come up with a solution rather than just constantly restating the problem. See, that's what I hear that you do. You do it in a very eloquent way, but all you're doing is restating the problem. You're not giving an answer to the problem.
That's actually not what I'm doing. Actually, what you're doing is you're doing, if you're talking about changing something, that's the first thing you do. If you're trying to change something, you do a in-depth analysis of what the issue is.
What happens with you, I think,
you kind of like this freestyling motivational speaker, kind of willy-nilly, you know, we can.
Let's test that. I love testability.
Yep.
Because that is crap. Let me give you an example so you won't ever make this mistake again, okay?
I can tell you what I mean when I say this freestyling willy-nilly. Just based on what's
coming
out of your mouth.
I'm going to make sure you don't make this mistake again. Okay?
No, I haven't made no mistake.
Watch me, Eric. I'm about to work on him.
Yeah. All right, I'm listening.
No. All right, well, what I'm going to tell him, in the paradigm of male-female interaction, I encourage both the man and woman to initiate mutual contact. Now, you can't tell me, or you tell me, if a woman walks over to a man and introduces herself, she becomes a catalyst. She becomes an igniter, at least for the great possibility of communication. Is that true or false?
Say it in layman terms. If a woman comes to a man, she's doing what?
If a woman walks over to a strange man that she doesn't know, and she introduces herself,
okay.
Hi, how are you? I would just like to have a conversation with you.
Okay.
She becomes a catalyst and a motivation to involve him in a mutual conversation. Would you agree with that?
Well, saving a catalyst and all that stuff, the fact of the matter is that she's came over and initiated a conversation. Now, move
well, let me
back.
State it the way I want to state it.
Well,
if
but
you just interpret it.
That's where the hyperbole come in.
Bottom line
setting
is,
up the
okay,
next
let's not get off
doing.
Track here. The bottom line is that when a woman initiates communication with a man, she creates an opportunity that wasn't there before. Do you agree with that?
Okay, yeah, that's better. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying needs
okay.
to happen.
Good. Okay, so what now how does that how you working on me by saying that?
Well, I'm just giving you a fundamental fact.
Oh, that's everybody knows that. So I mean that's not
careful now,
working on
careful.
Me. How's that working on me?
Be careful because I'm gonna tell you something. That doesn't happen enough.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I think, and so now about this issue.
The problem with us is, first of all, don't understand solutions, and when a solution is presented to them, they just brush it off. Why? Because they're not solution oriented.
Well, now, going to that issue where you said about stating the problem, if you go back and listen to this tape, that's probably 90% of your talk. Is stating the problem. Men don't understand this, or women think this. So to say I'm not offering solutions.
But I gave we never entered into this conversation saying,
what do you guys think are some solutions to black male female relationships? Nobody
asked.
You got
to talk first. If they don't talk, they can never get to the solution stage.
Okay, so my critically analyzing an issue. It's you're saying that what you just said is that I got
to
stop doing that and bring solutions.
No,
but now you're saying we do need to talk before we get to that stage. Which one is it?
The emphasis has to be put on men and women talking to each other. Unless they start talking to each other, no solutions can be offered or exchanged or put into place. They've got to start talking to each other, and everybody dances around that. And that's where the crux of the problem is. And just continuing here with Hughley, he says, I've never met an angrier group of people. He's talking about women. It's like black women are angry just in general, angry all the time. My assessment out of, just in my judgment, you either are in charge or they are in charge, so there's no kind of day that you get to rest. So what he's saying right there is that the anger of black women, the perpetual anger, does not allow for any peace in whatever relationships they have. Now, have you noticed that an inordinate amount of women are angry?
Not really, man, not really. And it depends what type of brother you are. It depends what you're saying to them. I don't really see that.
Well, wait a minute, where are you?
I just think that's
wait a minute, simple. What's your location? Are you in America?
I'm in London.
Well, you wouldn't see it. You're in a different you're on a different continent, for Pete's sake.
I feel that it's the same. I feel everything that you go through and that is the same as what we're dealing with in Britain. Like, everything's the same, brother.
Well, it's not the same. If this guy is making an assessment of, you would have to listen to understand what he's talking about. What's going on the American continent? And I don't know if you guys have had a feminist movement or what extent you've had that.
Wherever they're Europeans, they're the same.
As men, but not the same obligations. Where women don't have to register for the Selective Service, but yet they can vote politicians in office. That can send men off to war. See, you may or may not be dealing with things like that, and you may not be aware of those things.
There's no difference between
right. That's the thing.
And American law.
That's right. See, that's my point. Let me throw something
no
in there. He keeps saying American. There's no such thing.
All right.
These are
right,
European.
Whatever.
These
I mean,
are European.
Whatever.
No. I'm agreeing with you. These are Europeans, and there are Europeans over there in Britain, too. There ain't no difference.
Mm.
The brother keeps saying, well, we're Americans. What is that?
Well, I'm talking about the laws and the culture. You just talked about the culture. There are differences in culture. Read about the Revolutionary War. America broke away from Britain.
Listen, you are still controlled by England, my friend. Where did you get that from? You're still in control. Britain still got the thumb on America, bro. If Britain told you to go on war, the French or the Germans or China tomorrow, you lot are there. You lot have to be front.
We're dealing
America
with an entirely different issue.
For Britain, my friend. You lot are the war military for Britain.
But, okay, this is the point. If you put yourself under the heavy hand of whatever power you do, well, then it seems to me that you captured and surrendered yourself.
No.
I don't
so you get
up
under that. See,
absolutely
all you
not, my brother.
Wait a minute, you use that as a talking point to escape your responsibility.
Absolutely not.
On freedom.
Absolutely not.
It's finished, my brother. There's no freedom.
Absolutely not.
There's no freedom.
See, you're not making any sense. If you were put in a situation to where you had to make sense, to where you had to say, well, what is the direction that should be taken in a lifetime, not in 1,000 years, because this will be irrelevant and immaterial.
Well, I tell you what we need to do as black people worldwide, and all the black people from all the who's gone through slavery and been through the slavery, or been, you know what I mean? And some black Americans want to say they're indigenous of America, okay. But I think that all of us should do is put our money together and do what Elijah Muhammad was doing. Try and make our own stuff.
All right, but before you do that, Eric, are you there? Are you,
like
are you
said earlier on, my brother.
I'm here taking it off.
Like you said earlier on.
I'm about to throw the bomb on him. Ask him, have he met the three criteria? Because before you...
Name them again. I didn't hear you again. Say that again.
Before you can come together with anyone, you've got to be together yourself.
I agree. I agree with that.
All right, Eric, lay it on him.
All right. Have you had an elimination within the last 12 hours?
Well, wait a minute, Eric.
Have
start
you had
with
a what?
The first one.
Oh,
do you
I'm
have
sorry.
All your bills current?
You
do you
got
have 1 year's
current.
Reserve?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
had an elimination within the last 12 hours.
Have you used the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yes.
Man. Come on, Mr. Solution.
The bills, are all your monthly obligations current?
Listen, can I say something, man? The reason
Wait,
that
let
that,
him answer
what
that,
does that
if
mean?
You don't
what does
mind.
That, what does
okay,
that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. My bills are paid, right?
No, I'm asking you. That's the question that I think Eric is asking you. Go ahead, Eric. Jump in there.
What does that mean? What do you mean
by that? Huh? Basically,
what
I mean, do you have a year's worth of salary saved up?
No.
Money-wise?
I'll ask it. No.
Maybe a couple months. I've got money to fall back on. I've got savings.
Then when you get done, Eric, let me do it. Ask me, and then I'm going to show you where this is really bullshit. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Before you could claim it bullshit, let's ask him, are you working on getting that done?
Yes.
Okay. Of course.
So what's the next?
I save all the time. I'm always saving. I've got
what's
money.
What's the next one, Eric? Go ahead. Ask me if you don't want to answer. I'll answer.
Oh, okay.
Have I used the bathroom in the last 12 hours?
No.
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes.
Okay.
Both, I did the number one and the number two.
And are your bills current?
No, all of my bills
are paid.
Okay. But you're working on that, right?
Yes, I am working on that.
How do you think you'll feel once you accomplish that?
Well, to be quite honest, I'm an entrepreneur. The possibility of getting all my it's like a work in progress. But to answer your question directly, how will I feel? I'll feel good.
Now this is getting your monthly bills current. So you don't have that years in reserve.
Financial planners
tell us that that's what we need.
Yes.
Do you have the years in reserve?
No, I do not.
Okay. Now, Eric, I'm going to submit this as Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. Okay.
This is the problem. You have a lot of people giving advice. Now, he said he'll feel much better. See, what life is about...
Whoa, don't run yet.
Wait a minute. Allow me to finish the point.
I thought he was going to ask me three questions, and then he was going to...
Well, we asked you the three questions, and you didn't meet it.
Oh, okay, so now what you're saying, that was your premise for saying we can't work together unless these, and then you said now ask them the three things. Now I'm
My premise is this. There's a fundamental level that people need to achieve in order to really be in a position to offer advice.
That's
you have a lot of brothers,
false.
Like the conscious brothers. They can solve the mysteries of the universe, but they can't pay their damn rent.
That's absolutely false.
Balance. That's out of balance.
No, it's not, man. Where'd you get that from? That's not out of balance.
Mr. Solutions. I agree with Mr. Solutions.
Okay, now let me give you another point of view. You have to consider this, Mr. Solutions. when you're in a capitalist society, and we're all in a capitalist society, to use as one of your foundations of people not being able to unify based on whether or not they got $1,000, they got a year's worth of money saved up. Hell, the majority of anybody in the capital solid will never have that. It's never been done.
Hey, Eric, I want you to check. Eric?
I'm here.
It's recorded.
I'm here.
Front and center.
It's recorded. So I said...
The reason that a lot of people are out of order is because they haven't accomplished what they need to do in order to be able to offer any guidance.
Now let me give a suggestion. Watch this. I'm gonna give you a suggestion, Eric. I would suggest that you put your money in a black bank. Am I qualified to give that suggestion? My money's in there. And all my bills ain't paid.
Okay.
Is that now? Am I qualified to give that suggestion? Because my bills ain't paid. Am I qualified to say, hey, Eric, we need to begin to start credit unions or engage in economic activity, pooling our money to start businesses? Now, am I qualified to do that? According to you, I'm not, because my bills ain't paid.
No, is that a worldwide thing, your bank, my brother?
What the brother said. If my bills ain't paid and I ain't got
a black bank. No, I'm saying your black bank sounds a good, great idea. Where is that bank universal, though?
Wait a minute. We're just dealing with the brother's issue of
saying... You put your money in a black bank, right?
Huh?
You said that you put your money in a black bank.
I use an example of the brother saying... I'm not in a position to give advice because I don't have a year's worth of salary saved up and all my bills ain't paid. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with him, but that with
you agree with it. You agree with that?
But I agree with your statement. I agree with.
Now, wait a minute, man. Either I can give him that advice or not.
No, if the information is good, sound like you just said there, you just made a good suggestion, and that's a good advice.
Here's my question. Tell me where I can find a black-owned bank at.
As long as
I'll tell you right now. When you get on the computer, go to the National Bankers Association. That's the black one. It's going to tell. I think there's over 40. There used to be about 80 of them. It's down to 38. It's steady dwindling.
Black Bankers Association.
No, a National Bankers Association.
National Bankers Association.
Yes, but that's the black organization. There's an online bank that's owned by Magic Johnson. One United Bank.
See, Eric, this is what I'm trying to make very clear. When a person's advice has not worked for them, well, then it hasn't been properly tested. And I think, now that may not be the right standard that I offer. It may not be. But I think it's a damn good standard based on the way we live in this economy. And
I agree with that.
The gentleman even said he would feel a lot better, number one, when all of his bills are current,
when he has a year's salary, which the financial planners tell us that that's what we need to cover all financial emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use the last one, number three, is having had an elimination so that you aren't toxic. Because
right.
if you have backed up waste in your body, it clouds your thinking.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And if people are after you for their money, if you're any kind of responsible person, you feel the pressure of owing somebody. And that's a good thing because you should pay them.
Right.
But in needing to pay them, you are distracted by that reality. So I don't want a distracted, toxic person offering me advice.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, so that, from that perspective,
you know,
brother,
want a person that is
at
least a position of mental clarity and physical health offering advice. And then I want to see that their advice has worked for them. The best proof that your advice is worth anything is that it has worked for you.
Listen, you see, and I guess but what you have to do, and you're absolutely right, but you have to put that in context. The advice of what you're talking about has to be in context. For instance, like if you're dealing with something like drinking or something like that, I think you just what you did is blanket that, which I understand that, but I think that has to be put into a little bit more of a context. And let me give you another one. We don't know for sure that a financial planner has a year's worth of money saved up. You
well, that's not
that.
The point. See how you are avoiding.
No.
Look,
I'm just,
let me show you what you
but,
should.
But what I'm saying. But,
a minute, hold
see,
it.
I'm
hold
saying
it. I'm gonna just go in. This is what you
right.
should do.
Okay.
Now you should take what I said, because this is the first time you've heard that before. I'm pretty sure. At least put in a very concise and succinct, package as I've done. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What I would ask you to do is to arrest yourself. Just for a moment, and just contemplate it, because it's new information to you. You said it would make you feel better. I want you to be in the place of feeling better.
Well, don't you think I'm working on it? I ain't eating boogers. I'm working on it.
But you're working me over while you're working on it, because it sounds like you're trying to find a way around what I've shared with you.
I've just shared with you a negative goal.
Let me say this.
I'm not trying to find a way around what you said. I am not. I would love to get to the point, and I am working that way to
now
make
let
it
me
happen.
Ask
you are
another,
absolutely right about less stress.
One of my professors
absolutely
used,
right
to,
about those
used to explain to me, he said, when you really understand something, not only do you understand it, but you can explain it to someone else.
Right.
Would you share what was just you just acknowledge is valuable and it's information, will you share that with someone else?
Yes, I will.
That you care about?
Yes.
All right.
Have no problem sharing that, yes.
All right, well, then I think you should. Well, what are they, first of all? Give me the three premises.
I'll give them right back to you. One.
Yeah, give them right back to me.
Have you been able to have a bowel movement or release the toxin from your bodies within the last 12 hours? Have you had a bowel movement?
Well, an elimination.
An elimination, right.
Elimination.
Two, are all of your bills current? Are you current on all of your bills? And three, do you have a year's worth of salary or income saved up for discretionary funding?
Right, for emergency.
Emergencies and things of that nature.
You know, like your transmission goes
yes.
out, maybe you need a new refrigerator, and you don't have to run out and charge it,
right?
Where you know, because that just adds to the expense of it. So, see, look, a lot of people, if they would just shut up, see, they don't really – I want to see that what you know has worked for you. Is that fair enough? Why should you give me your junk?
I think it depends on what you're talking about. That's why I think it comes to context. It depends on what you're talking about.
Talking about, look. Let me say this to you.
Okay, let me say this, Mr. Solution.
We haven't communicated before. Doctors tell us that the major source of any illness is stress. Stress, and what that refers to is stress that you can't see in the epithelial or the smooth muscles of both your circulatory system and your intestinal system. That means they're under constant tension. And that means that ends up lowering one's immune system and opens them up to sickness. Now, do you know the number one source of that stress?
Finances.
No, I do not.
Finances.
It's finances. That's right, Eric. You are exactly correct. You can go. Now, that is what you call a pour over. That covers everything. So this is the reason I thought this through, and I'm sharing it with you. Your finances affect everything in your life.
Okay. Well, the when I said about the context, so let me ask you this. Do you have a year's worth of money saved up?
I do.
Do you have all of your bills paid?
I do.
Is that Mr. Solutions talking?
Yeah.
Oh, it seems like we done changed. You done metamorphed into something else. Let me ask you this. Do you have any money in a black bank?
Well, when you say a black bank, I don't
okay,
know.
Let me be specific.
Let me finish with this. I just want
to
say something still, yeah, but you see that National Bank that you're talking about, that's owned by J.P. Morgan and Chase anyway.
Okay, no. I gave you the wrong name there. I'll look it up right here, right now.
Wait a minute. First of all, what did you look up? That's something that one can certainly do, and I do believe in recycling dollars.
Okay,
but the point is this.
Let me finish. I just want to use the same theory on you. Okay, do you have...
It's not the same, by the way.
Okay. Do you have?
Still think it's your attempt to avoid and
no, I'm not, man. Why don't you answer the question now?
Wait a minute. I answered the question.
Okay.
For you.
I didn't hear you. Do you have any of your funds in a black-owned financial institution?
That's not germane.
Okay. Who got the feedback?
I don't.
See, you're asking questions.
The reason
now
he don't
want to
answer the question because my next question is going to be, do you think it's a good idea?
What did you just tell him? Where
do you
are
think it's
they?
A good
and
idea?
Then you gave the wrong information.
Oh,
the brother
man.
Just looked
well,
it up.
No. I don't even know what he looked up. I said, I'm finna go. I don't know the exact words that he looked up, and that's why I'm finna go look him up. Now, he said I gave it to him. Why you won't answer my question, man?
Question are you asking? You're not
do
asking.
Do you have any of your savings in a black financial institution? That's yes or no.
I don't know. Probably not, because they're
okay.
So few, damn it.
Okay. Now, do you think that having them in there is a good idea? Hello?
Wait a minute. This is what I'm saying. You're not even listening.
I
just said BE says to three things, and this could apply to any community, but when you're talking about the black community, three things that one can do to enhance economic viability, and that is to start a business, invest in a business, or support an existing business. So those are the things that all people of a particular group that sane and progressive should do.
Okay.
So you should. I pointed out before that over $750 billion.
Okay.
None
now
of
I
that
did
is
not
real.
Give the brother. I did
okay,
not give the brother the wrong information.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got somebody else who want to join the conversation. So
okay, but let's clear that up because Mr. Solution gonna jump on me on that one.
No, I'm not
free.
Going to
I
jump on
you.
I did
give him the right information.
Life is already on you. I'm not add to it.
All right, y'all. All right, I got a new caller. Welcome. Hello. You're on the air.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
That's good. Greetings, brothers.
Greetings.
All right, you know, it was a few things that were said, but I want to just go ahead and go with what you just recently said. Mr. Solutions, I heard you say that you have enough money to maintain yourself for a year. What would be that amount? You don't have to go ahead and be specific and tell me personally what you have, but what would you think you need to maintain yourself for a year? I'm bringing that up because with the current situation, money probably is not having a whole lot of meaning. So having that money, it may not be worth anything. It may not be worth what the paper is written on. So do you have anything else to follow? What do you need to go ahead and maintain yourself for that year?
Well, look, financial planners, and this is a general rule of thumb, is to have 1 year's salary, whatever your salary is. And see, that's because that's what you are already living on, and that makes a lot of sense. So they simply say, save 1 year's salary, have that in reserve. You may have to work two or three jobs to do that. You may have to stop talking on Blog Talk Radio for a while in order to get that done. You follow me?
Okay, but I can't let you get too far.
You need to go out and do that.
Hold on a minute. Because I'm new here. This is Chef Rob, in case you wonder. So here's the thing here. So what I'm trying to go ahead and get you to go ahead and see is the people that are over there on the East Coast, because I live in the Midwest. So the people over there, even if they had that money, if they can't even get to that money, how can they go ahead and maintain themselves when water has flooded their house? If the money's not even worth anything. Right now, I got some financial dealings that are tied up on the East Coast, so I'm kind of like stuck. So I'm here playing games with you. So I don't understand how you can go ahead and tell me that you can go ahead and maintain yourself for a year by talking to these financial planners. It has to be something else put in place, because that money don't look like it's meant a whole lot.
Well, let me say this, and
I make a good point. Mr. Solution, you can tie those two together.
You understand the point you're making, although it can be localized, applicable. Most people do not have the problem of accessing a year's salary if they had it. It's just that they don't have it. And not only do they not have it, they don't have the resources currently to ascertain it. So while I understand what you're saying is applicable in a very limited setting, most people would prefer to have it even if they couldn't get to it immediately. But that's not most people's problem. Most people's problem is they don't have it. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that.
What we need to go with, there's a word called a fortiori, and it means the issue that carries the superior weight and momentum.
Yeah.
And that's what, see, sometimes people focus on the exception instead of the rule. It's a good idea to focus on the rule.
I think both points are true. Now, to the brother who, what's his name, Supreme?
Wait, but they're not equally as important.
Okay, the brother Supreme. What did you say you looked up? Because that is the site that you need to go on if you want to find the black bags.
Yeah, but it's still owned by J.P. Morgan and Chase, isn't it?
It's not even what is owned by J.P. Morgan and Chase.
That national bank that you're talking about.
I didn't tell you to go look at no national bank.
Okay.
Told you to look up National Bankers Association.
Just tell Eric put a link in the chat.
Nationals.
Look up. Do the Google search and do National Bankers Association. It should be the first one that pops up. That gives you a list of, it's got a drop-down box, and it gives you a list of where the few little black-owned financial institutions are left.
Now, notice what you just said, the few little.
The ones that, because it's dwindling, and I want to make that a point so people can understand that they're not going to survive if we don't put our money there.
Well, most people may, and that's true. I have every community should do that.
Right.
But there has to be, look, what I told you earlier. Now, Dr. Anderson talks about black people, American black people, being perfect boycotters
of each other.
Yeah. That's because they balkanize. They're unfamiliar and scared of each other. And so, but that changes with interaction, with communication. Because you know the old statement, fear has nothing to fear but fear itself. Some think that was FDR that said that. But a lot of times fear, it acts just like positive feedback in a sound system. It just amplifies itself. It has no real basis. So you have to get a method and explain to people, especially men and women, because they set up the foundation for the community and for, you know, whatever progressive community that you develop. They have to stop being balkanized, separated into hostile factions, and they have to actually come together and start communicating. And they have to want to do that. Most of this is volitional. It's whether a person wants to do it. Now let me ask you, if more people met those three criteria, had all their bills paid, all their monthly bills current, 1 year's salary in reserve. Now, one can have more than that, but that's the minimum. It used to be 6 months, 3 to 6 months. It increased to 1 year. And, of course, having had an elimination, if more people met those three criteria or were striving to meet those three criteria, do you think that would create more harmony?
I think that's a no-brainer, yes. Can I give out one
more site?
Okay,
well, then you have your assignment.
Let me give out one more site.
what did Nike say? Just do it.
www.cdcu.coop. Now, this is another movement that's picking up a little steam. This is the black churches doing the faith-based credit unions. So if there is no black bank in your community where you're at from the one site, then you can go there, and hopefully there's maybe a church around that has started a credit union. If that fails, then you have the Magic Johnson has the largest, I think, online bank, black bank, and that's called Bank One United.
I don't really want to be supporting Magic, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, I mean, we can get into the politics of Magic. You know, I understand. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what I want you to do, brother? You know what I want you to do? The one who just said he don't want to support Magic. I understand who Magic is, but here's what I want you to do. Go look up Magic Johnson's, I think you can find it on it. Just pull his name up and do a search and get to his foundation. Let me tell you one of the things he did. Magic Johnson, from an economic standpoint, man, he is pumping more resources and money into the black community probably than anybody right now, other black. Let me tell you one thing that he's done. The black banks that are on the ropes, I know several. He's acquired several of them just to keep them open. So I know who Magic Johnson is. We ain't got to get to the Illuminati and all that old bullshit. I understand all that, and you know, but that's why we got to be able to keep stuff separate and you know, still be able to
may I say something?
Get together where we can get together at.
Go ahead, Rob. Something.
Okay. Now I understand Magic Johnson's buying this, and you got other blacks going ahead buying things up in the community. I get that. It, to me, I was just on a local radio show, and I was dealing with my foundation, but I was also talking to a brother who was talking about the gang troops. I live in Chicago, where young kids are being killed every day, several, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 times a day. Okay? And so these guys are talking about their gang troops. And when they go ahead and they put together their programs and put their programs in place and get that money, the programs stay in place for 2 years to maybe 6 months to maybe 2 years. So I see them go ahead grabbing that money, and I see them grabbing that money and fatten in their pockets. Let me finish.
Let me understand
where I'm going. Let me finish. Because
okay.
I've been around.
Tell it, brother. House niggas. So here it is.
Let me tell you. So when I go ahead and I keep hearing people, Magic Johnson's doing this. Magic Johnson's been in the limelight and been making money for a long time. He came from a rough neighborhood. Why didn't he do this a long time ago? And these little things he's throwing at it. He had the movie houses here in Chicago, and those folded. So these things he's doing to go ahead. He's just doing stuff to make fat in his pockets. He's not doing anything serious. Nobody.
Wait a minute. Okay, well, first of all, I ain't going to even disagree with that, but I guess what I'm trying to figure out, what is your point? I only brought Magic up for that particular fact. Now, if we end up, hold on, brother. Now, you just said you in business, right?
Yes, I am.
Are you in business to make money?
Of course.
Okay, so is something wrong with Magic being in business to make money?
So don't push him out there. He's one of our saviors to the community. He's in business to make money.
I didn't say he was saving. I was showing you when he brought that up. I thought I just should. What also should be recognized. I said Magic Johnson has an online bank. The brother said I don't want to support Magic, and I said, well, I just offered a little bit. I didn't ever say Magic Johnson was no Black Power advocate.
Okay. I'm just giving you my point of view. I'm not trying to attack what you. If that's what you feel, you go ahead. But I agree with the brother. I'm not supporting. That's one reason.
Okay.
Let me make this point.
Well, you got two more other sites. I gave you.
Well, I give you a bunch
of. So you ain't got no excuse.
A lot of individuals who've been doing this for a lot of years, and especially when I was really making good money, I was going ahead writing checks a lot. But I see when I start really going ahead looking into it, and I start seeing that, hey, look, people I'm writing the checks to, going ahead riding around with it, and $100,000 car. And I
can I ask the question? Can I ask a question? You see, with the hurricanes, where's Magic? Is Magic helping out?
This is what I'm saying. Now, this is where Mr. Solution. Now he was talking about me. Now, I'm offering a solution of how we can begin to organize Black economics. And these went back to hurricanes and shit. See, now that's the cop out.
That's not a cop out.
No. So are you talking against Black economics or for it? Which one?
I'm all for. Look, on my show, I play Powernomics, Dr. Claude Anderson clips a whole lot.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
Okay, so my thing is, it's the individuals that's out here. They're not good role models. Or they're not models that anybody should follow because they are into.
Who said follow? Who said follow somebody?
Well, you can't bring up nobody's name unless you go ahead and try to go ahead and support or go ahead and give me an idea of what's going on.
We were talking about Black banks, and I was naming them. Now, are you saying Magic Johnson, he's not catering to the urban community with his bank?
No,
if you're saying that, then give me the research that you've done. Give me the research that you've done, and then I'll stop saying that.
Honestly, I have stopped going to a lot of these banks and Black banks once I started to make a little money, and I started going ahead doing with them myself, create a new product or go ahead and go another direction.
Okay,
and
that's cool.
Gentlemen, look, allow me to offer this. Look, I understand what the gentleman is saying, and it's great to support banks of your particular ethnic group, but you've got to get the money first. Most people... I know in the Black race, even though they have all this money, most of that money is debt. Okay, they're borrowing the money. They're spending it, but it's still borrowed. And so what I would suggest is that you guys focus on getting the money first. I think you're going off track right here now. You need
and
to
I,
talk
and
about personal...
I disagree, and when you get done, That's
okay,
not
I,
true.
Just, I just agreed with your idea, but what I'm saying, before you can put money in a bank, deposit money in a bank, you've got to have that money. You've got to own that money. So get the money first, and then I agree with you, because that's what all people do of a particular ethnic group. And what I would encourage you to do also, there's a word known as thesaurus, and that's a book of words, but the word thesaurus means treasure. Most people are talking about things they've never defined. And it's been said in terms of entering into discourse that any two intelligent people who enter into an intelligent conversation need to first define their terms. And I submit to you, gentlemen, a lot of your terms have not been defined.
Okay, man. Let me give you the first organization of Blacks that put together Black Bank, the United Order of the True Reformers. This is back in 1889. I just want to throw this in there about the issue of get the money first. What happened was the guys who started it, they were entrepreneurs, so they did have some capital. But what catapulted the Black Bank movement from that was them organizing, getting all of the Blacks to put their money there, the $1, the $2, the $3. Not they didn't go after the ones who had the year worth of stuff saved up and all their bills paid. They went after all of the money. From that, this is what else they did. Then they just eased into the insurance business. Now, these are all facts. It's not, my opinion. So this idea of, well, let's get the money first and then work on the Black banks. I would say do them simultaneously. And as a motivational speaker, Mrs. Lucia, I don't know why you wouldn't say do it simultaneously. So
I don't have a problem with
okay,
that.
All right. Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of how that flowed out. That's how it flowed out. And then you had the biggest expansion of black industrialism, entrepreneurs, homeownership, and wealth building during that time frame of that surge in the black financial institution. Now,
yeah, well, one of the things you have to look at there, most black Americans don't like each other. I know they don't even deal with that. But see, unless you at least fundamentally like another person, and Dr. Anderson talks about this, where he talks about black Americans boycott each other perfectly. Unless you develop the conversation where you get to know and learn to like each other, there's some genuineness. You're not going to do business with each other. Chinese or Asian people like each other, at least fundamentally. White people like each other, at least fundamentally.
Yeah, there's no question that the average
Hispanics,
black...
Hold on. Hispanics like each other, at least fundamentally. So until you get... And it's because of their language, the way they communicate with each other, they lay a foundation for that human interaction. I was just reading what D.H. Hughley was saying, is that black women are perpetually angry. Now, most of that anger is just silliness, but they transpose it into anger because it's easier to get angry than to resolve the issue. And a lot of times, anger is nothing more than a smokescreen for your own inefficiencies, you know. So the thing is, you're going to have this kind of communication in order to create that environment, because if I like you, I'll do business with you. There's no other way of seeing it. But if I don't like you, I'll do everything to not do business with you.
Well, from a historical point in black folks' history in America, and there's numerous places where you can go and find this at, the cause and why they unified had very little to do with them liking each other. It was because they found themselves in a certain situation and they had common interests.
But notice what you're saying now. Now, that's true under tension, but that has got to be transposed into a normative setting. Because right now, and when I, you know, talk about this issue, I say the playing field is as level as it ever has been, and is probably as level as it will ever get. So Dr. Anderson talks about two things that impacts black people in America negatively. Number one, he talks about white racism, and that has been more true in the past than it is currently. Currently, the greatest problem, in my opinion, that's impacting black, well, let's just say what Dr. Anderson said. He says currently the greater problem impacting black people is black inappropriate behavior, and that is the way they dysfunctionally interact with each other.
Great, Randy, you can put that in context, or like you said, basically you're saying not having a certain type of consciousness when you're interacting, the type of relationships you have are not based on a certain type of consciousness. And when you put that in context to just economics, and you're absolutely correct. The normative, that's when you're getting into now a functioning culture. That's when it's normal. But when you're talking about being in a situation where we are as blacks, to get out of that and to get into normal, there are certain types of strategic organization that is going to happen to come out of that, like you said, that tense, you know, forcing of unifying. You're not going to get out of it.
I like Neely. I listen to him a little bit more carefully. I don't just listen to someone, and because they say something I don't initially like, I just stop listening to them.
We're going to have to cut it short on this one. It's running out of time.
Yeah, well, anyway, Neely points out that, you know, when black people, because of their history, they should always have a plan. Boy, time goes fast, Eric. They should have a plan whenever they talk to each other. Otherwise, it's going to deteriorate into anger and hostility. So there should be a plan of discussion.
I agree
with
that. What
do you want to talk to the other person about before you engage in conversation with them?
Now, I do agree with that, Eric.
All right.
Now, you hear that? You're a host, man.
All right.
The willy-nilly open-hour conversation don't work.
I got 20 seconds left. Thanks for the great conversation, fellas. Hey, we can all pick right. this up tomorrow if y'all want to. Hey, I'm going to try to be at one of them polling sites tomorrow doing
okay.
a live broadcast. So y'all want to call in, we can do that. Other than that, once again, thank you for calling. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. I am out of here. Have a good one.